T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
One Talk, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. This is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Black waving patriotic nephew of my Uncle Sam, a rough riding fighting Yankee man.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Joining us now is our 4th District Congressman Ron Estes. Congressman, thank you for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you, John. It's good to be here.
Well, and thank you. It's nice to see you again. How long have you been home from D.C.?
So I've been home about a week and a half. So we wrapped up, and I left D.C. the Friday before Christmas.
I bet you were glad to get out of there.
It's good to get out and get some fresh air and enjoy life back at home.
In the real world.
That's right.
Yeah. So. And I've got to, tell you, Ron, you must have the patience of a saint to have put up with Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler throughout this whole bogus impeachment thing. And I thought about you a lot, because I've known you for a long time. I mean, years. And I watched a lot of it. I my poor wife having to put up with all of me watching it. And I would record each of the Fox News segments. And then at night, we'd come home from the store. And I would force her, as I would sit there and watch the things. And, of course, I was fast-forwarding through the Democrats, because who cares what they had to say. But it was fun to watch the Republicans, and I kept thinking about you. It must be so frustrating to hear them, and how do you put up with it? How do you?
Yeah. So it really was sad, that whole impeachment process. I mean, just from the standpoint of, their whole goal was to impeach the president from the day one.
Yeah.
In fact, the Washington Post had a headline the day President Trump was sworn in and on his inauguration day that said, and now the impeachment process can start.
Right. So, or some before they were. Yeah.
Yeah. And some even before that.
Right.
And so it's just been this show process that they went through. And the sad part about it was the way Nancy Pelosi and her squad structured Adam Schiff to go out and do this work was they had no basis in fact to do it. But they were adamant about all these facts that weren't there. And so it was sad to see that we've gone so far in this country. I mean, we've had 243 years of elections that people accepted the results, and they just wouldn't accept the results of the elections in 2016. And so we saw, and I wasn't on the Intelligence Committee or Oversight and Government Reform or the Judiciary Committee.
Probably something to be grateful for.
Yeah, because they got ran through the ringer. I mean, the extent of – so when they were in the super secret closed doors in the basement, that wasn't classified according to Chairman Schiff, but he always held out over everybody's head, I may classify this information at some point in time in the future, so you can't talk about it. So he would go out and leak all of this stuff and actually, in some cases, tell things that are outright lies, including reading a fake transcript into the record as if it were the truth.
Right.
And then go tell the media all these things, and nobody could refute what was being said. And so it was frustrating for us on the outside. I tried to go down and read the testimony. I particularly wanted to read Ambassador Volker's testimony just in the closed session, just because that was the one that was going to be most relevant at that point in time, and couldn't. I did it the week before several others went in mass.
Right, I remember
that. But trying to get down and actually see what was going on. It's just a sad state that politics have turned into this much of a hatred. I mean, we've always had political process, but we need to figure out a way to get away from this, because there's so many things that we didn't get done in the legislature that we needed to do.
Well, and, you know, I mean, I served in the legislature, and, you know, for those of you who are listening, know that, you know, I mean, we get, there are times, you've seen it in the Kansas House, in the Kansas Senate, where it gets acrimonious on the House floor. Yeah. You fight, you argue. Trust me, there were some pretty good fights. But then you'd still go out to dinner or to a reception in that evening, and you could still be cordial. I mean, John Carmichael and I are polar opposites politically, but John Carmichael and I still co-sponsored legislation together. The swatting bill that we passed was John Carmichael far left, Patty Markley in the middle, and myself far right, and we, you know, the three of us co-sponsored, and we could do that. Here's a question. I mean, how is the... Is it cordial? Do you have cordial, friendly relationships with people like Schiff and Nadler or Nancy? Or is it just you don't even talk? Is it persona non grata?
So one of the things that's different about the Kansas House and the U.S. House of Representatives is that the majority at the federal level has such tight grip on power. And, you know, in the Kansas House, when bills are brought to the floor and you have sessions and you're debating bills, debating amendments, anybody can bring an amendment up, and they get voted up or down and move on. Well, that's not the way it works at the federal level. The speaker controls all of that. They control who gets to speak, how long they get to speak, whether there's any amendments at all that are allowed, and if there are any amendments, which ones. And so that gets controlled so tightly by the speaker's office. And so what we've tried to do, and particularly this session, because with the Democrats in the majority, is try to work with some of the rational members in the Democrat caucus in terms of talking about let's co-sponsor legislation. And we've got several bills that we're working on right now. A couple of that got through with the big bloated omnibus that went through, but got thrown into that because they were good ideas and things that needed to make sense. But other than that, the working relationships at the federal level don't exist like they did at the State House in the State House of Representatives. And so we've got to figure out some ways to spend more time together. We've got to figure out ways, some degrees, to turn off social media, to turn off the cameras, because people are different when the cameras are on
than they are in talking
to person one-on-one.
And that's the sad part is I think you could tell from the perspective of someone who's just watching, from the Joe Q public. And I think that's why we saw that with the polling, you know, because right at the beginning of impeachment, the polls turned. And there was, at some point, I think it was at 54, almost 56, supported impeachment. But slowly, as the whole thing turned, now it's at 44. Now, you know, the numbers have turned. And it's because people recognized this was a joke, recognized it was strictly partisan, obviously, because they didn't get any Republicans to vote for it and lost two or three Democrats. It's so obvious what this was.
Yep.
And let me ask you now, what happens with, I mean, is she going to sit on these articles? That makes it even more obvious what this is, that she won't even pass them on.
It's sad that it was such a political thing. And it, as you said, you know, when people saw this process, that there were no facts, that was done in secret, it was done with no evidence, it wasn't even following the standard rules that were done before when it was talked about President Nixon or President Clinton, you know, where you have a special prosecutor to start. It was just actually the super secret process that they wanted to follow. And what happened through that is, at the end of the day, a lot of Americans don't like everything President Trump says. I mean, and so they want to complain, and so that was how you saw, as you talked about the polling at the beginning, said, well, that's not what they want as a president in terms of style of communication. But what they saw through that process was it wasn't fair. And basically, as Americans, we want a fair process. We want people to be judged for the things they do right and the things they do wrong. Now we're seeing, as you mentioned, the speaker's continuing to play political games as she's looking at, well, maybe I'll send these articles of impeachment over to the Senate. Maybe I won't. We'll just talk about it. And I expect you to follow what I tell you to do. And that's not the way you do it in terms of talking about something as serious as impeachment. I mean, it was intentionally put in there as an avenue when somebody really committed high crimes and misdemeanor treason or bribery, and so that it's just sad that that's what they've degenerated into.
Yeah, well, degenerates is what I would use for some of them. But you didn't use that word. I did. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll talk about things like Omnibus and USMCA and things that are actually important, which this topic is not. So we're talking with Congressman Ron Estes. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this.
Your phone call is welcome at 869-1330. This is the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Well, Congressman, this is usually my Laura Kelly theme song. We'll make it our Nancy Pelosi theme song for you this evening. How's that?
All right.
So you guys did accomplish a couple of things. I mean, and I know the Democrats claim they've accomplished a lot, but the things that they passed, I don't consider those meaningful bills anyway. So.
Well, yeah, and that's the problem is, yes, there were some things that were forced through the House
exactly,
by the
yeah,
majority,
forced, yeah.
But they were all partisan bills.
Right.
I mean, we had so many things teed up in the works, you know, in terms of working on drug pricing, working on savings, working on Medicare, I mean, and healthcare costs.
Right, VA, there was a VA bill,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, the VA bill, and the National Defense Authorization Act has been 58 years had Republicans and Democrat support. And the bill that they passed through this summer was a Democrat bill, partisan bill, had all these poison pills in it that they knew wasn't going to pass in the Senate. But then they can stake the claim that, well, they passed something knowing it wasn't ever going to be law because it was so hyper-partisan and it not bipartisan at all in that process. And so that's made it so much difficult. But we were able – I mean, the one good thing out of the impeachment process is that they actually had to come to the table and do some things – to show that they were actually passing legislation that worked.
Because otherwise they'd have had nothing, no accomplishments.
That's right.
So you got USMCA. Now, I know it wasn't quite the USMCA you had originally hoped for, but it's still a pretty good piece of legislation.
So what changed in that? I mean, you've got to give a lot of kudos to President Trump and Ambassador Lighthizer. I mean, they negotiated a great trade agreement. And you know, when they started the process renegotiating NAFTA, a lot of folks, particularly in Kansas, said, let's not do that. I mean, NAFTA's been good to Kansas, and that's been great for agriculture. It's been pretty good for most manufacturing around here. I mean, there are some industries that it wasn't as good for, textiles probably being the most notable one. And there were some loopholes in it. And so the administration, Ambassador Lighthizer and President Trump, they worked to fix that. They worked some of the labor loopholes that allowed foreign car companies to basically bring a completed subassembly and tighten a couple of bolts and deem it a NAFTA product. They fixed some of the loopholes in the labor provisions that kept the Mexican wages low. They fixed the dairy loophole that was out there for Canada. And so as a result, it was a great deal coming forward. Probably, well, it first time it had some environmental provisions, had more labor provisions than for workers than what a typical Republican would have done. And so, you know, at the end of it, the Democrats came back and they tweaked what we were calling 1 or 2% of it at the very end. And then they wanted to claim credit for it.
Yeah,
and
I noticed that.
You've got to give all the credit to Ambassador Lighthizer. He worked so hard taking what President Trump campaigned on and said this is what he wanted. And actually, the kind of the running joke through the last year was Republicans couldn't meet with Ambassador Lighthizer because he's spending all his time talking with the Democrat members on the House and the Senate, talking about what questions they had, helping them with their understanding of what had been negotiated. So it was out there, and it was a good deal. And so there's so many positive things there. It's going to improve the economy. I mean, the International Trade Commission estimated it is going to be 176,000 more jobs on the low end and potentially as much as 500,000 more.
Wow.
And so it's a positive thing for our economy.
I did think it was funny. You're right. The Nancy Pelosi and the D's immediately, I mean, literally the day after impeachment, she rolls this out as a great accomplishment for her and the Democrats.
Yep.
That was just laughable. Nobody bought that.
No. I mean, it's kind of like the band leader that jumps in front of the parade and says they're in charge.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's a good analogy. One other thing I noticed recently passed the appropriation, the omnibus package, and I know it boosts spending for both the military and domestic programs. It scrapped some key tax funds to Obamacare, which I liked. I'm curious, tell me, and I don't, I didn't do my homework, so I'm bad about this. I don't know how you voted on it, so I'll ask you that. What did you think? Obviously, it's got more spending, so I'm sure that was something that kind of stuck in your craw. You had the tobacco thing, raising the tobacco age. What are your thoughts on it? I don't know how you voted.
So let me back up a little bit and give a little bit of history of that. You know, our fiscal year starts October 1st. We haven't had appropriations for fiscal year since then.
Yeah.
And we'd twice extended. Because there couldn't be an agreement on what to spend, partly going back to all these partisan bills that the Democrats in the House passed, and not working to come up with what's rational on spending plans. So first they'd postponed it off till November and then till December 20th. And so finally with impeachment came together, this was one of those things that said, okay, they've got to get an agreement done on things. So there are typically 12 areas of appropriation spending, you know, agriculture and energy and water and the legislative branch and health and human services and the Department of Labor and Department of Education. And so what they did was they packaged that into two bills. One was defense combined with the Homeland Security and a couple other departments. And then the other one was more of the domestic spending things. And there were good things in both of them. There were a lot of other extraneous bills that were thrown in there as well that had nothing to do with appropriations.
I'm familiar with that process.
And the good part about it is there actually were some good ones that came in this year, which isn't always the case. There were some bad ones as well, but in this case, there were some good ones that have been stalled in this whole process. And so I voted for the defense spending package. It boosts wages for Department of Defense folks,
3.1%. I saw that, yeah, 3% military raise.
Which is the largest in years in terms of getting a raise. It looked at it increased spending, trying to clean up some of the things that had been cut during the Obama administration. It also included some funding for the wall and border security, which not the full amount that the president asked for, but it did include some amount for that to help with that process. I did not vote for the domestic spending. I mean, they've gotten into this process over the years of if they spend more on defense and Homeland Security, then they need to spend more for Department of Labor and Environment and Health and Human Services. Whether it's needed or not, they just say we've got to put more money into it. And that's not right. I mean, we need to look at what are our real issues, what are the real drivers that we need to fund, and focus on that. And the sad part about it is we're continuing to spend much more than we bring in. You know, over the last year, our revenue, tax revenues come up 3%, but spending's gone up 8%. And so that's not sustainable. We can't continue doing that. I mean, it's a horrible thing to think that we're mortgaging our kids and grandkids' future in order to maintain our lifestyle today. And we've got to get serious about what are we going to spend and what are we not going to spend. And unfortunately, there's a lot of asks around in terms of saying, well, we want a grant for this and we want a grant for that. Well, instead of raising taxes at the local level or raising taxes at the state level, they come to the federals and say, well, let's raise federal taxes, or more likely, let's go borrow more money,
right?
Because that's the way it's been. That's the way it's been.
Well, you guys can print money, can't you?
We can print it, but a dollar's only worth a dollar if you know there's a measured amount that's out there.
We've only got a little bit of more than a minute or so left. I want to ask you real quick. I saw your post about what's going on at Spirit with the 737
Max.
Thank you. Have you heard any updates on that? I know it's a process. The last thing I heard, it could be 6 months or whatever. But I know there's potential for the federal government to help with some unemployment, some other ways. You know, I mean, are you optimistic that there can be a resolution to that?
There will be a resolution to this. I mean, we've got the safest air transportation system in the world, and we want to continue that. The FAA is doing a very deliberative process, working with Boeing to make sure that the plane's certified. and make sure that that process works. We're keeping an eye on what's going on, making sure that we're able to help and make sure that we can get support for workers if there is some blowback to both Spirit as well as other manufacturers who are suppliers around here. So we want to make sure that there's a good level of support for issues as that process takes a little bit longer than it should have been.
Well, I know I saw your post on your Facebook page. I know that you and Senator Moran have both been involved in that. You've spoken to the FAA, you've spoken to the folks over at Boeing and Spirit. So I appreciated you keeping us informed on that and just staying in the loop on that, because obviously there's such a major employer down here in Wichita and whatnot.
There is. The whole aerospace industry is so important to this part of the country, and we want to make sure that Spirit and all the suppliers are supported through this process.
Congressman, thank you again for coming in. Have a happy new year. I know we're a little early, but I'm always thinking 2020. I know you're running again. If people are interested and they want to help and they want to get involved on your campaign, real quick, what can they go? What's your website?
So estesforcongress.com. And, we're getting things organized now and being prepared to move forward.
Perfect. So. Well, I support you 110%. You know that. And thank you for coming on. We'll have you on again.
Right, thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.